And this is when we take a break from our regularly scheduled program and we ask ourselves, are we serious about our walks with God? Are we super serious? I mean, I want to be like this. I want to say, yes, Lord. I know it's hard to be obedient to God's word. I think it's a little off. I think it's a little outdated, whatever people might think. But I know that people here were serious about that. But here's what God says, and you must be remembered. We need to know that the Lord doesn't, he says, don't give an oath unless you're willing to fulfill it. Don't say yes and amen. A strong evidence of us saying, okay, Lord, kill the spider, I'm ready to follow you, is that we submit ourselves to the word of God.
In Christ, I can do all things. In Christ, I mount up on eagle's wings. In Christ, I wait for a great reward that I have in store. In Christ.
Hello, and thanks for tuning in to In Christ Radio in our Hope Restored series. Now, we've spent the last several teachings listening to Israel's great prayer in Nehemiah chapter 9. They remembered God's greatness, his goodness, and ultimately, his amazing grace. As we move to chapter 10, we skip verses 1 through 27, where the scriptures record the names of those who sealed the covenant. But those names aren't meaningless. God knew every one of them. Their commitment mattered enough to be recorded in his word. It's another reminder that throughout Nehemiah, God's work is accomplished through individual people who chose to be faithful. So Pastor Ben gives us the homework to read verses 1 through 27, which we pick it up today in verse 28 through 39 with the message titled, Clean Out the Cobwebs of My Life. Pastor Ben tells us a story of a prayer that continues to ask God to clean the cobwebs out of our life. But the real problem is the spider that keeps coming back. Something has changed in these people. They don't want to simply talk about repentance anymore. They want to live it. So they begin examining the practical areas in their lives, their friendships, their schedules, their finances, and their worship, their responsibilities towards God's house. They're essentially saying, Lord, there shouldn't be any area in my life that your word doesn't touch. That's where revival becomes real. Real commitment to God moves beyond words and begins changing our everyday choices. We often want God to transform the big things while protecting the little things from his influence, like the cobwebs. But wholehearted surrender gives God permission to enter every room of our lives, removing that spider. So is there any area in our life where we're saying, God, you can have everything except this? Let's tune in with Pastor Ben to Nehemiah chapter 10, verses 28 through 39 in the lesson titled, Clean Out the Cobwebs of My Life. Here's Pastor Ben.
Let me just remind you very quickly, in the book of Ezra, they wanted the foundation to be built because that was their connection with God. They wanted the foundation of the temple because this is where they worshiped God, but they couldn't worship God because they were so afraid. The walls were broken, and so they were constantly looking, and they would have one hand up but one eye open thinking, how can anybody worship that way? And so in the book of Ezra, they build the foundation. Yes, so in the book of Nehemiah, they want security. They want walls. They want to have these ramparts to go, oh, no, you're not coming in. And the people could come to church and worship freely. And they longed for a new beginning. They longed for the worship of God to return. The Bible tells us that God put eternity in our heart. And even if you're not a Christian, I believe you have that longing to worship. Oh, but when you meet Jesus, you see, the Bible tells us that in the book of Nehemiah, they had a mind to work, a mind to work. And they had a mind to work even in the midst of the attacks of the enemies. You see, the Sanballats, the Tobias, the Geshems, they still had a mind. We still want to worship. You see, they were still determined to finish the wall. And my question to you, church, is who are your Sanballats? Who are your Tobias? Who are the ones that are attacking you? If you recall in the book of Nehemiah, the wall was finished in 52 days. 52 days. Now, I want you to realize and think about this, guys. Put on your thinking caps because this was a huge miracle from God. This was a huge miracle. You go, whoa, how so? Well, let's talk. Let's talk for just a moment. as we studied the book so far, one thing we discovered, one thing that we could take to the bank, and you need to know this, is there was not a physical, miraculous building of the wall. You see, it wasn't like they went to bed one night, they woke up, and God supernaturally built the wall. Come on, somebody. It wasn't that. You go, well, how was God in then? I mean, you're saying that this is a huge miracle. It all took 52 days, but God didn't. Could God have built the wall? Yes, he could have. He could have sent his angels, built the wall, built it higher, built it better, whatever it is. But God wanted the people to realize it wasn't about the wall, but it was the inside of the wall. And the miracle that God did, listen, the miracle was that God was with them and the people had a heart to work. They had a sword in one hand and a trowel in the other. What happened? Day and night, 52 days meant everyone had to work real hard. What an encouragement to you and I. We are a body and we have to work real hard. I don't think we're going to get to heaven on just this super wonderful pillow. Oh, life is so good on earth. We're going to get to heaven tired from fighting. It's hard work. We have a trowel in one hand and a sword in the other. Don't you love that the Bible is often referred to as a sword? A sword to fight your enemies. You got your sword? You got your sword? Where's your sword? Oh, where's your sword? No, you got to have your sword. You got to have your sword. You go, Ben, give me some application to take home. When it comes to building lives and restoring relationships, you ready? There will be times when God will supernaturally intervene. And it's a bona fide miracle. Bona fide miracle. God will supernaturally intervene. And other times we have to have our trowel and our sword and we have to work. Come on, somebody. Don't leave me up here alone. You go, well, Ben, give me an example. Okay. Children of Israel coming out of Egypt. Do you remember them? 2 million. Pastor Moses is leading them. You guys know the story. What did God do? God gave them manna from heaven. Do you remember that? They were complaining, not like you guys. You guys are amazing. But the children of Israel were complaining. And they were complaining and complaining and complaining. And finally, it's like, okay. Here's what's going to happen. When you go out tomorrow morning, you're going to find this. And you know what they called it? What is it? That's what they said. What is it? Right? And it was manna. And it probably tasted like turkey sandwiches. It probably every day was a little bit different. I don't know. Spaghetti, maybe manicotti. I don't know. But nonetheless, it was manna from heaven. Was that supernatural or not? You go, amen. They didn't have to work for it. But check this out. When they got in the promised land, The manna stopped. You go, well, what did they eat? Well, now they had to work and they ate the produce of the land. Listen, there are times when God gives you things supernaturally and there are times when you have to get it naturally. Come on, someone. We all in this room are here on a Wednesday night. We want super amazing Bible knowledge. And I'll tell you what you're going to do. You're going to go home tonight. You're going to put your Bible under your pillow. And when you wake up tomorrow, woo, you're going to all be theologians. You go, Pastor Ben, that's silly. God could do it, could he not? Supernaturally. You go, amen. But more importantly, probably not. It's going to take hard work. It's going to take study. It's going to take highlighting. It's going to be listening and listening to different pastors and praying and seeking God. Just understand that there are times when God will step in amazing and other times when we have to build the walls. Now, other times in our lives, it's a constant belief and hard work that we seek to build the lives on Jesus. And we walk closer to our God. And when we do that, jot this down, we're able to forgive those who hurt us. And we're also able to ask forgiveness to those we have hurt. It's that constant belief and hard work that we're building our lives in Jesus. So we're both building our lives on Jesus and restoring relationships. And now the people in the assembly are serious about praying and they determined by God's grace to make a new beginning. This is what they said, and live to please the Lord. And everybody goes, amen. But I got a question for you. Let me say this again. So make sure that it reaches your brain here. Now, the assembly here in in the Bible, they were serious. You go, amen. They were serious about their prayer, and they were determined by God's grace to make a new beginning and to live to please the Lord. You go, yes, I got that. But I wrote down here in my notes, was their dedication real? Was their dedication real? They're excited. Walls built. Ezra, all right, right. We're going to come back. We're going to serve. This is it. You see, for the Israelites, was it a, and Lord, clean out our cobwebs in our lives. Amen. Or was it, listen to me, Lord, kill the spider. You see, when we kill the spider, we are ready to live in obedience to you. Now, according to chapter 10, we discover, here's what we learned, three sure signs that they were serious about their commitment to obedience. So you understand, it wasn't a, amen. You see, the man would just say, Lord, clear out the cobwebs, amen. But that wasn't enough. Kill the spider, Lord, we're ready to move forward. And now, Nehemiah, in writing, gives us three sure signs that they were serious. And by way of application, the same evidences will be seen in our lives if our promises to the Lord are sincere. You go, what does that mean? If you're here tonight and you're saying, Ben, I just want to live for Jesus. I just want to live for Jesus. I'm ready for a new beginning. I'm ready to worship him like I've never worshiped him before. Pastor Ben, I understand prophetically all that's going on in the world. I understand Ezekiel 38 and 39. I understand Jeremiah 49. I understand we're real close, but that doesn't mean anything to me. What I want to do is I want to worship the Lord like I've never worshiped him. I want a relationship with him. If you're serious about that, then let's jump in and see where we're at. What I want you to do is take you back to chapter 9. I want you to see the last verse, verse 38. It reads, And because of all this, we make a sure covenant and write it. Our leaders, our Levites, and our priests seal it. You guys see that? Here's what they're saying. They're saying, we're serious. We're serious. Now, I want you to take note because I want you to see this. The first evidence is that they submitted themselves to the word of God in writing. They submitted themselves. You see, in verses 1 through 27 of chapter 10, it gives us a list. 84 persons put their seal on that covenant, and they made with the Lord. You see, we sort of did that with church from time to time. We sort of said, hey, we're gonna make sure that you're sincere with God. We're going to make sure that you want a real relationship. So we're going to have a membership. And what you're going to do is you're going to sign the membership. And then that tells us that you're sincere about. But what happens is that we started going after members and forgot it was about the worship of God. And so the people here go, no. We're going to put it in writing. We're going to seal the document. Was a serious matter. You go, why, Pastor? Because it meant they were taking a solemn oath before the Lord. For them to say this wasn't just going, yeah, I'll sign it. I'll sign anything. Guys, it was not like any of you ever apply for a credit card and it says, read all of this before you hit yes, and nobody reads it. Yeah, we're like, nah, let me just sign it. I need the credit card. What's my limit? That's not how this is. This was, you better read every line. You better understand. This is a solemn oath to God. And so they go, we're in. I want you to remember chapter 5, Nehemiah 5, 13. I'm going to read this from the New Living. It'll be up on the screen. Verse 13 says, I shook out the folds of my robe and said, if you fail to keep your promise, may God shake you out like this from your homes and from your property. And the whole assembly responded, amen. And they promised the Lord, and the people did as they had promised. Do you remember that? They're promising. Kind of reminds me of the days of my youth when I would get in trouble and I would promise to serve God if he got me out of that. Any of you remember that? Soap's doing his head like this. I know. Lord, I'm in a mess. I am in a pickle. I promise I'll go to church. I promise I'll serve you. And the Lord takes you out and you're like, All right, I got through that. Maybe we go once or twice. That's not this. They said, we're ready to serve the Lord. Then again, they make a promise And again, note with me in verse 29. Verse 29, and they joined their brethren, their nobles, and they entered into a curse and an oath to walk in God's law, which was given to Moses, the servant of God. Here's the law. To observe to do all the commandments of the Lord, our Lord, and his ordinance and his statutes. Guys, what's he saying? They're saying they're serious about their walks with God. And this is when we take a break from our regularly scheduled program and we ask ourselves, are we serious about our walks with God? Are we super serious? I mean, I want to be like this. I want to say, yes, Lord. I know it's hard to be obedient to God's word. I think it's a little off. I think it's a little outdated, whatever people might think. But I know that people here were serious about that. But here's what God says, and you must be remembered. We need to know that the Lord doesn't, he says, don't give an oath unless you're willing to fulfill it. Don't say yes and amen. It's James chapter 5, verse 12 tells us, above all, my brethren, do not swear either by heaven or earth or with any other oath. He says, but let your yes be yes and your no be no, lest you fall in judgment. So we don't make oaths unless we're really wanting to keep it. And you go, okay, Ben, so help me out here. Help me out here. A strong evidence of us saying, okay, Lord, kill the spider, I'm ready to follow you, is that we submit ourselves to the word of God. We're submitting ourselves, and they're doing it in writing. They're doing it in writing. You can see all of this. The second evidence is actually found in verse 28 and 30 and 31. Okay, you go, what is it? If you're taking note, it's going to be separation from the world back to God. Back to God. You see, there are times when the world will pull you away. There are times when the world looks fancy and frilly and wonderful, and it wants to pull you away. And here's what they're saying. They're saying, okay, I'm done with that. I'm coming back to God. This is the second evidence of a real commitment to God. Look at verse 28 with me. It says, now the rest of the people, who? The priests, the Levites, the gatekeepers, the singers, the Nethinim, and all those who had separated themselves from the peoples of the land to the law of God, their wives, their sons, their daughters, everyone who had knowledge and understanding. You go, okay, what did they just say? Well, they made this covenant publicly. Though it's the most significant meaning was between the individual and God, it was also important that the other people witnessed the covenant. Why? Public covenant meant accountability. Church, listen. Whenever we give an invitation, I always like to bring people forward. All others, well, I don't want to embarrass anybody. I don't want, you know, you can... That's them. But here he's saying there needs to be a place where somebody says, yes, I surrendered my life. You go, well, sometimes it doesn't take. Sometimes they walk out that door. We want them to go, listen, there needs to be a public covenant. This is why we do not only an invitation, but we also do baptism very publicly. Okay, you're making a solemn decision to follow Jesus. This is why we don't have infant baptism. They can't make a decision to follow Jesus. It has to come to the place where they're going, oh, man, I'm saved. I want to follow him in baptism. My life, my death, the resurrection, I'm a new person. How many of you are a new person? How many of you are a new person? Think about this. Think about your BC days. Not for long. But you know. You know. And you don't like to think about it much because you are an awful person. My wife tells me stories of her before her BC days, scares me. I have to sleep in the other room. I'm like, And then she got saved, filled with the Holy Spirit, so I'm okay. Take a moment from time to time and think about, oh, I remember that dude. Now, that dude is dead. When you gave your life to Jesus, that dude died. But he's up here somehow, and you're thinking, wow, I remember just exploding off the handle. Uncontrollably, or I remember, I wanted to lay hands on them, and not the good way. You know, I mean, it was, but now God's calling us back, the separation from the world back to God. Jump to 30 in Nehemiah 10, 30 and 31. He says, we would not give our daughters as wives to the peoples of the land, nor take their daughters for our sons. If the peoples of the land brought wares, okay, this is good. or any grain to sell on the Sabbath day, we would not buy it from them on the Sabbath or on the holy day. And we would forego the seventh year's produce and the extracting of every debt. Guys, this is a good verse to underline. Why? Because it speaks volumes. You go, Ben, what do you mean? Okay, so here's what I want you to see. Let's go back. The second evidence is separation from the world back to God. Can I get an amen on that?
Amen.
Okay, can I get an amen from people who are listening?
Amen.
Can I get an amen from everyone?
Amen.
Thank you. It goes on the radio, guys. Come on. And so in verse 30 and 31, it says, we're not going to give our daughters. We're not going to give them to the foreigners. We're not going to take their daughters to our sons. We're not going to do this. As a matter of fact, when they come in to sell, we're not going to buy. If it's the Sabbath day, we're not. We're going to follow God's word. And it's two broken down in two specific areas of life. And you need to grasp this. You go, why? Jot this down if you're taking note. Number one, this is the romantic area. The romantic area. What they're saying is that we will be faithful to God when it comes to our romantic relationships. We will be faithful to God. And in verse 30 to 31, it's in the business area. We will be faithful to God when it comes to doing business. Do you guys see that? Now, I can't help think back at the admonition in chapter 9 when it comes to separating ourselves back to God. And if you recall, a few weeks ago, we learned in Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 2, it said, and those of the Israelite lineage separated themselves from all foreigners, and they stood and confessed their sins and their iniquities of their fathers. You guys remember that? They were like, yeah, man, we're done. We're done. And we want Jesus. Well, something unique happens here in verse 2. The Bible tells us that they had separated themselves from those who, you guys got to get this, from those who would be a bad influence. So we're not hanging out anymore. Oh, Pastor Ben, I went to church the other night. Pastor Ben said, we can't go out and witness to the world. That's not what I said, but you've got to be careful with those you hang around with and those you, here's what he's saying. He's saying, man, they've got a bad influence on you. For you see, well, we've got to chat. We've got to talk about this. You go, why? Because Nehemiah mentions romance and he mentions business and he mentions personal relationships. And so I've got to ask you, you ready? Boom, boom, boom. Is the person you're with, the person you know, or the person you're doing business with, are they pushing you to be more like Jesus? And again, we don't have many singles in here. Maybe there's some singles watching online. Maybe there's going to be listening to the radio, but I want you to think about this. If you're in business with someone, are they pushing you to be more like Christ? Let's talk to married people. You're like, let's not. No, let's talk to married people. Is your spouse pushing you to be, and I don't mean pushing you down the stairs. You know what I'm saying? I'm saying, are they helping you to become more like Jesus? Are they encouraging you to read this and study and do they encourage you? They look at you and say, I'm proud of you. You've been faithful. I understand marriage can be that, it can be tough, and I understand all of these things that go through, but here's the thing, man. They're saying this is a relationship, this is a business, this is a personal, and you want somebody that's going to be encouraging you with your walk with God.
In Christ.
That brings us to the end of this episode of In Christ. Thank you for tuning in as we go verse by verse through Nehemiah. Now, Nehemiah was a cupbearer to the king in the Persian palace and is in the same time of Ezra. Nehemiah leads the third and last return to Jerusalem after the Babylonian exile, and his concern for the welfare of Jerusalem and its inhabitants prompt him to take bold action. Granted permission to return to his homeland, Nehemiah challenges his countrymen to arise and to rebuild the shattered wall of Jerusalem. In spite of opposition from without and abuse from within, the task is completed in only 52 days, a feat even the enemies of Israel must attribute to God's enabling. By contrast, the task of reviving and reforming the people of God within the rebuilt walls demands years of Nehemiah's godly life and leadership. So be sure to join us next time as we continue to dive in to the wonderful character of Nehemiah, how he cared about traditions past, the needs of the present, but also the hopes for the future. We look forward to seeing you in the next one. If you missed any of today's show or would like to listen to it again, check out our website, inchristradio.com. There you can find a link to this show, along with this past week's episodes. There is also a link to the Calvary Chapel Lubbock podcast with a whole library of great Bible teachings and teachers. Have a prayer request? Submit yours safely and privately at inchristradio.com. I would like to personally invite you to one of our services. We meet Sunday mornings at 10 a.m., Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m., and Thursdays at 12 for noonday prayer. Did you miss any information? Our website again is inchristradio.com. Remember, wherever you are and whatever you're doing, God wants to be a part of your life.